to tell us a little bit more about the UFL and also about Terrell Pryor's future as a quarterback is Jim Fossil, current Las Vegas Locomotives coach, also former NFL coach with the New York Giants. Jim, Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, it's good to be with you.
Let's get into Terrell Pryor a little bit. How would he benefit from playing in a league like the UFL?
Well, I think because, you know, he hasn't been a starter in college all 4 years and things like that, he needs to still grow. I think the guy's had tremendous talent. But I think this year is even unique because if this lockout continues, and even if they didn't have a short season, if they pass the deadline to when they're going to go to camp and get all the preseason games in, that's when a young quarterback like him gets a lot of work and they can evaluate him. And if they don't play, you know, let's just say this thing goes into the cuts into the preseason and all that. First of all, teams are only they're not going to bring a full 80, 85 guys in. They're going to cut that roster down, and then it will be a shortened camp. Maybe only play one preseason game, and then start the regular season. There's no room for a guy like that to get a lot of reps. You got to get your starter ready. You got to get your backup ready, and the other guy picks up the scraps. You know, and it's going to be hard this year for any new player that didn't get drafted, and even for some of the draft choices to prove themselves in what's normally about a six-week training camp. They won't have that, and so they'll cut the reps out of the lesser guys, and it'll be hard to prove himself. So if he came into our league, yeah, he'd get an opportunity to showcase his talents a little bit sooner.
Would Terrell Pryor be a starting quarterback in the UFL?
I'm not sure he would be. And that's not a knock on him. It's just that when you look around, by now most people have kind of got it set where they might be set at quarterbacks. And like us, we've got Chase Clement, who is our starting quarterback at the end of the year, got MVP in the championship game. And then we signed Mike Teal, who's been in the NFL, been around, very bright guy, understands it. We've got Tim Rattay, who started for us, you know, most of last year, and it's pretty hard for a guy to come in and unseat some of those people. I think he has to be patient, and people, whoever has him is going to have to be patient with him. I think eventually he'll be a good quarterback, but at the beginning, it's a totally different game. It's a faster game in the NFL.
Has the UFL already had its draft?
Yes, we've had our draft, and we also had where we could our free agency, if you will. Every team could put down 10 guys they want to protect, and then we had a 10-round draft and some of that stuff. So our rosters are pretty good. I mean, we've had guys sign. It's a little unsettling this year because, you know, to try to sign a guy from college that just missed out on the draft and knows he would probably in a normal year be a free agent, and he's always dreamt about it, he's struggling whether he comes in our league or not. But those are the guys that are going to get hurt bad this year because if they decide not to sign with us and wait for free agency and the start of the NFL season, okay, every young man's dreamed of doing that. Problem is, instead of going to camp with 80 guys or 85 guys, they go to camp with 60, 65 guys. That's going to cut out 20 guys per team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you put the multiples, 32 teams, that's a lot of guys left on the street, and then they try to get back into our league after we've already started and we're playing games. It's very difficult for them, so they could be left out for the whole year.
He's a head coach in the UFL with the Las Vegas Locomotives. Jim Fossil joining us on the Rivertown Hotline. Jim, have you talked to some of your peers? I see Dennis Green, Marty Schottenheimer, Jerry Glanville, all coaches in the UFL. Have you had conversations with either your ownership group or with other coaches in the UFL about the addition of Terrell Pryor?
I have not. No, that surfaced, and I've already gotten phone calls on it today. That surfaced, and I have no conversation about him with the league or with any other coaches.
You're a former quarterbacks coach. If you had Terrell Pryor in with your team, what would be some of the first things you would work with him on?
Well, I mean, we do a lot of shotgun, and he's used to shotgun, but, you know, we'd really want to be able to get underneath the center because, you know, with a run game, and it's so vital, you're going to be underneath the center for predominantly your run game, so you're going to have to take significant amount of reps underneath the center for the play-action pass. And I think as much as anything, you got to attack it in two prongs, his physical ability And I haven't studied him close enough to really make an in-depth decision on, you know, things that might help him, both foot placement or, you know, his release or some of those things. And then the other thing would be to really spend time with him to get him to understand. The coverages are a lot more sophisticated. Guys disguise it. The openings to throw the ball to the receiver are not there. You have to anticipate when he's going to hit the opening and then cut it loose early. That's what I'm saying. It's just, for a quarterback, a lot faster decisions.
Would his off-the-field actions at Ohio State affect whether or not you wanted to bring him onto your team?
No, I don't think so. I think that sitting down with him and discussing him, and any time a player's had a problem, and I feel good about my success with guys that have had issues, and, you know, in a sundry of them, all kinds of them. But let's get it all on the table. Let's get it all on the table, and let's talk about it and how to handle it. And you need to be more than just a quarterback coach to him or a head coach. Quarterbacks need mentoring, and they need somebody they feel close to. And it wouldn't influence me. I mean, he didn't break the law of the land. He broke NCAA rules, which, if you want to know the truth, I still don't understand that. How you can own something, but you can't sell it. I don't understand it. So, but I think, you know, I would.
So, do you, Jim, almost feel bad for him? It sounds that way, that he's losing out on his senior season, and he was suspended for 5 games because he sold personal property.
Well, that's my whole point. Maybe I don't understand it, but even if you said, okay, the rule is whether it's a ring, a jacket, a jersey, or whatever it is, that is his property. It's his. Okay? It's his. It was given to him legally by the school, or he earned it, or whatever you want to call it. And he can't turn around and sell it? I think you might have some problems with that was tested in a court of law, not in the NCAA court. I think the NCAA's got huge problems doing that. I just do. I mean, you just can't go make up rules and punish people that don't fit in with the constitutional laws. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm missing the boat.
No, I agree with you. How about Jim Tressel in all of this, Jim? You were a former college coach at Utah. What do you think of Tressel's role in all of this? Did he get a raw deal?
Well, you know, it goes back to, I don't understand the players, why that's a problem, but as a coach, it's a different set of rules, and you understand that as a coach. If you know that the rules were broken, whether you agree with the rules or not, and I think Jim Tressel's a great coach and a great person and all that stuff. I really do. I mean, I'm sad for him because I think he's a hell of a guy. But if you do know, and last time I was in college football, maybe it was 20, 25 years ago, but if you knew there was a rule broken and you did anything to cover it up, yeah, you got issues. You got issues. And I think that's the problem. And, you know, we both may get our eyes opened even further if all this car business and, you know, all the relatives and everybody else went to buy cars, and when that starts to get uncovered. The sad part of it is, like USC, and that's one of my alumni places, you know, one guy causes the problem, and then everybody else has to pay for it, and he's long gone, and so is the coach and everybody else, and the player's there now who didn't do anything wrong. And that, there's got to be some other formula with the NC2A. But I feel sorry for Tressel. But I will have to say, if he did know about it and has proven he knew about it, and obviously they did, then, yeah, you got to understand that as a coach. You can't do that.
We'll wait and see where Terrell Pryor winds up. Maybe it's in the United Football League with your team, Jim, the Las Vegas Locomotives. Thanks so much for joining me tonight.
Okay, good to be with you.
Yep, that's Jim Fossil, former Giants coach, now the head coach, general manager, president of the Las Vegas Locomotives of the United Football League. And again, the report tonight that Tressel, that there's a source out there saying that there's a decent shot Terrell Pryor could end up playing in the UFL